Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Indochino. Fellas, don't wear just any suit on your big day. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino helps you design a suit perfectly tailored to your body and your personality. I love my Indochino suit. It's blue. It's got pinstripes. I got to pick out exactly how I want it to look. The liner on the inside. This thing is sharp and it fits like a glove. They've been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. Indochino lets you design the suit, like I said, that you've always wanted, to fine-tune every detail. We're talking lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, and more. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, it's bespoke without the premium price tag. Look, you can go into a showroom. That's what I did. I went in real quick, very professional. They measured me up. And then before you know it, a custom suit made just for me. I highly suggest it. When planning your wedding, get a suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com, use code BALLERS to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code BALLERS.
Spitwads on this episode of the show, this beautiful, wonderful, spectacular, almost difficult to look at because of its beauty, spit hit episode, we discuss menu reading superpowers, selfish monster parents, and a lot more. I'm not going to spoil the whole show for you, but we tackle some of life's toughest questions. Enjoy every minute of today's Spit Hit.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Welcome in, everybody.
What happened?
Yes!
What happened?
Oh, baby. He's back. He's back.
What happened?
So as we started, I had one thought. It was very small.
It was about zippers?
As my thoughts usually are. We've got a space-themed draft.
Uh-huh.
So zip just seems, just like, I don't know.
Is that the sound of moving through space?
I believe it is. That is my understanding as you zip through space.
It was kind of muffled. It was soft. It went too long.
Yeah, so I started there.
Oh, he's back, baby.
And then I didn't know where to go from there. I got lost in a wormhole.
Welcome in.
I can't wait for someone just to be like, bit it, that.
Oh, and just end it? Early.
It just stopped.
Zippity boop.
That's all I got for you.
Well, that's one of the exciting things about the Spitballers podcast. You never know how it's going to start. I closed my eyes.
It was sultry.
I bent the ear towards my co-host, Jason, and I absorbed and brought in all of that.
You're welcome.
Would you rather? That's a great question. And a best space movies draft on today's show. It's going to be a great one. You can find us on Twitter at SpitballersPod. SpitballersPod.com is the website.
I gave you a 3 out of 10. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 10. Everybody.
Yeah, well.
Not very good.
I give me a 4.
Instagram.com/SpitballersPod. Thank you for reviewing the show. Thank you for, he's grading himself.
I know.
And he only gave himself a 4.
Yeah, I mean,
and he likes to cheat.
It's still a failing grade, but it's better than what you gave me.
We appreciate everybody supporting the show at jointhespit.com and everybody that's reviewed it on Apple Podcasts, subscribed over there, which they now call following. So you got to follow on Apple Podcasts. And those reviews, we read every single one of them that come through, and we really appreciate it when you tell your friends and family about the show. Honestly, and I'm sure Al can echo this, there is nothing cooler than when you find out a family has been posing would-you-rather questions from the show or doing the draft with us or playing along from home, because that is awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get it going.
Would you rather?
I would. Kirby from Patreon.
Some more what?
The year. All right, here's the first question. The year is 3021.
Oh, my.
A little ways away. and random people are chosen for Coliseum-style entertainment. The game? It's hide-and-seek. The catch?
Of course.
The catch is the winner gets the best life ever, but the loser gets, well, they get axed. Mm. Oh.
So we've gone forward 1,000 years.
But we've gone backwards.
And we've gone backwards. In
we all know that's
I mean, that's where we're headed, yeah. We know.
So you're getting rewarded with a great life, or you're getting axed. Would you rather be the hider or the seeker in a Coliseum? Well, I mean, okay. Is that to be considered? Isn't the real question, like, would you be a better hider or a better seeker?
Well, you got to pick.
I mean, because if you're in a Coliseum, I mean, your options seem limited on hiding.
I think
so. I'd rather be the seeker in an open field.
No, I would imagine there's a time limit and there's obstacles and things that you can.
Oh, okay.
Think of like a really big laser quest.
Okay.
Maze.
To me, it was you're in the Coliseum, and the Coliseum is all in bounds.
Fair game.
Oh, like the whole concourse and all of the bathrooms.
It's not just the dirt field. Because if it's just the lower dirt bowl, I will take the seeker, please, and I will win 100 out of 100.
The problem is if it's the entire Coliseum and there's a time limit, I'm going to choose the hider in that situation.
Well, what if the time limit is like 1 week? Oh. You have to be able to hide from this person for an entire week
That's a long time.
You better pack a sandwich because you're going to get hungry hiding up in them air ducts.
You can't move, right? Once you choose your spot, your spot's your spot.
I don't know.
I think that's got to be a fair rule here.
Because it's not Hunger Games. You're not being hunted. You're hiding.
Right.
But in a regular game of hide and seek, you can move.
Yeah, but in this game, you can't.
Wait, you can move in a regular game of hide and seek?
That's my understanding
of the
rules.
In theory, you could shift around a little bit.
I feel like that's Bush League, man. If I'm being honest about hide and seek.
You never did that?
I did that. No, I absolutely did that. But I knew I was cheating because I was like, oh, they've already been in that room. They're not going to check there again. And when I watch them walk across the hallway, I sneak back into that room.
That's part of the
game.
And
then I win the game.
That's part of the game. The best in hide and seek was when you start the game very close to seeker.
That's a key. If you're listening and you're still hide and seeking a lot, that is a pro tip.
You hide behind the seeker and then just follow
them. I have an official rule. The seeker must close their eyes and is often required to face a wall away from the players. When the seeker counts, the players look for hiding places, and once they are positioned, they cannot move.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, because
that makes sense.
If you're a good hider, you've found a spot they can't find. That's the point.
It's not called hide and move, seek.
Or pretend you're their shadow.
It's called hide and seek. You just find a spot to hide.
All right, so let's kind of bring it back a little bit so we can answer the question. Would you rather, if you had a whole Coliseum? Yeah, I mean, the week timeline is strange.
That's too far. That's too far.
If it was one day.
One day in an entire, but the
but
the
you're
whole
stuck
Coliseum?
In the spot you find.
Yes, the whole Coliseum. Decrepit building.
This is where my weight becomes a problem because
I'm
going to
be the seeker.
I want to be the hider, but I don't know that the air ducts can hold me.
There's no air ducts in the Coliseum.
This is 3021, man. I mean, there's.
It's
sure
a Coliseum style. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I'm sure they've got this thing air conditioned.
but you're just to be clear, you're not concerned about your physical size as much as you are the weight of something holding you?
Well, both are a problem. The size, you know, you'd go like, oh, I'm going to hide around that curtain. It's like, that curtain's got a big bump. That curtain is sticking way up from the wall.
A curtain's with child.
Yeah. But then there's also like, you know, the size is an issue for... Let's really focus on the air ducts here.
Okay.
Because
why?
That's the
first place Andy's going to look.
That's the primo hiding spot. And I get a little hot when I, you know, so this is like great for me because this cools me down. But now I've got a size shape issue, you know, fitting a rectangle into a square type of problem.
Mike and I aren't just slipping into air ducts all the time. I mean, this is generally an area that's hard to get into.
Yeah. And then of
course. Unless you're Bruce Willis.
Right. He made it look so easy.
He did. But also the first move as the seeker is I'm cranking the heat up.
Oh, smoking them out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I want to be the hider, though, because that is a lot of movement. If you're the seeker and you've got to just be, I mean, you know you're not just casually walking. You might die. You're running everywhere for a whole day.
You wouldn't want to be running.
Well, jogging, like a hustle.
Hustle.
Yeah. And I would much rather just lay down somewhere.
My problem with being the seeker is I can't find anything.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
You guys, if you told me I had to find you, the second that my goal is you, finding you,
we disappear.
You could just stand on the wall, and I would be looking everywhere.
Is there something?
And then I would shout, I can't, I give up. I can't find you. It's impossible.
30 seconds in. I quit. Take my life.
Is there
I quit.
Something about the male brain that makes us like that?
Well, I know it must be for all three of us because I completely agree with you.
My wife ridicules me for my lack of common observance.
Scientifically speaking, I have heard this. I not a scientist, so I cannot confirm nor deny. But
I've heard this rumor, scientifically speaking. Go well, on.
But I'm saying, like, it goes back to brain science of go way, 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 way back when we are, you know, cave people, and the roles of survival were the strong males would go hunt, and then you would hunter-gatherer, right? Mm-hmm. And then the female brain, as I understand it, is like that's why they can see color more. They can differentiate color much better than us. Just the natural selection of them
because
being
they
able,
weren't hunters.
No, because their job of gathering, you had to go out and be able to see what and was not poisonous. Meanwhile,
we weren't gathering. We were just trying to find a gigantic buffalo running across a field.
So the human, the eye or the male eye, I'm sorry, is more trained for movement. So
you need the ketchup bottle to move.
So we're Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Yes, and it like it's maybe just if this is fulfilling the prophecy of me hearing that, but like my ability to quickly glance at the ground and see if there are ants anywhere in my vicinity moving around, I could knock that out in
no problem,
a split second. I identified immediately. So but if something is not moving, it is. It might as well just be invisible because I cannot see.
So wait for Jason to start getting a little squeamish and he'll start moving. And then
I can sit still forever, guys.
Really?
I'm pretty good at laying down and doing nothing.
He can sleep still.
Well, now that's actually the big issue. If I fall asleep, I am out. Like, you know, just follow the snore and I lose. That's going
to
be the hard.
Just wait for him not to fall asleep.
If you are the seeker, you just kick your feet back, read a book. You're like, you're not staying awake for 24 hours when you can't move. And you just wait, and then you're like, I hear him. He's sleeping over in the third row.
If you're the hider, the terror of being found is the worst thing that could happen here. Because if you're discovered, you're going to lose and die.
That's a 24-hour panic attack.
Now, the other one is like, okay, you don't find him, you don't find him, you don't find him. But being found is terror.
Yeah, that
is. At any moment, you could be found, which means you die.
I feel like I would be the seeker, and as soon as it starts, I'm going to be like, I'm going to check outside real quick. Let me
stomp.
Let me see if they're outside, and then I'm out of here, and then I just run away.
Oh, I thought you were trying to.
He's trying to abandon the game.
Yes, sir. I would like to not die.
And it's 30-21, so we get shot by lasers.
There's no way they would catch you.
Yeah.
Jess from Twitter, would you rather have the ability to, at will, switch your eyes to a clear 10 times optical zoom.
Ooh, okay.
Or third person bird's eye view.
Ooh.
Both would be very cool.
Oh. One is so much better.
One seems more practical.
Yeah, the 10 times zoom is awesome. I mean, what is this? A low light restaurant menu? No problem.
I can
see
the ink on the printing.
That's right. I can read this menu.
That's the first place.
That's the first thing that
came
to
a restaurant.
The first thing was your thought of your decrepit eyes that you can't read a menu.
It's well, if the light is low, Mike, it's really hard. I don't want to bring my phone out and like have the flashlight on, look like that guy. I just want to blink once and be like, look at these giant words in my brain.
Jason is famous for one specific thing. I've worked with him for 20 years, it feels like. It's got to be close to that,
for real.
It's
actually close to that, right?
Yeah. It's probably been 20 years.
Almost. Goodness gracious.
And we're talking about going back to web design. I used to work for him.
I hired him when he was like 14.
Yeah,
Slave labor.
And he paid me like I was 12. Yeah. But from the very beginning.
Here's your nickel.
Is everything I designed on the web, Jason wants 5 font sizes bigger.
That's right.
So he's been hitting the command plus on his computer as if he had 10 times optical zoom for the longest amount of time.
He's gonna,
oh, no.
He's this gonna, is how This is how my laptop just is. My laptop is just always zoomed in.
And for those of you at
home, you go to YouTube. Why don't you guys turn yours around? Show the comparison.
That's
here.
That's grandpa mode.
This is just. Oh well, you're gonna have to.
You got to take your screen protector off because you got to protect from.
So that's one way. Uh-huh. That's called the stupid way. If you're on YouTube, you could see the stupid way.
You
or
to be clear, Jason is the guy with that phone made for 80-year-olds with the numbers the size of your hand.
I just like,
and it's always come down.
Just admit you can't see.
I know. See very well.
Get
guys.
Better glass. Get some.
Look. Mike. Imagine my position designing for the common man. And here's my boss constantly telling me it's not big enough.
I am the common man.
That you're the only man that exists.
Well, I'm the, you know, I think you build for the lowest common denominator. That's now, me.
Do you or do you not yet have bifocals?
I have progressives.
Do you really?
I do.
This you is have first, not been public
on.
About
no,
this.
No, this is the first time. This happened 2 months ago.
I don't speak grandfather.
Right.
So, explain that to me and the listener at home. So,
oh my gosh, we're old.
I don't know that this is 100% exactly right, and it's me. It's mine.
Uh-huh.
I think what it is that the lens, my glasses, that if I look like lower, that it gets a little stronger up close. So like if I'm reading.
Like a bifocal.
Kind of like a bifocal, but instead of having one like little section, it's much more new age. It's like.
It's progressive just, instead of a solid like visible line across the
glasses. I don't want to have a visible line.
But they are bifocals.
Yeah.
So you're progressives.
You're wearing B. Franklin's.
Progressives. I would never have a bifocal until I really need them.
But you're wearing bifocals.
And you're zoomed to level 50.
Yeah. Also, my brightness was not up nearly enough.
Now, okay, we've spent some time.
So you've never known this.
I knew he zoomed in.
He's super zoom over there.
But I didn't know he wore bifocals. Yes, they are to be called.
Progressives.
But you're
dual depths.
You haven't even like considered what a being able to see in a third eye bird's view would do. No one's sneaking up on you.
No,
I don't want to see my bald spot, Mike. Come on. One of these things is awesome, and one of these things is, oh, crap, I'm in third person view again. I mean, I would have to shave my head. Look, I'm falling apart physically.
This show is ripping you apart.
That's what I look like from the back.
Yeah, I don't want me in the picture, okay? Got to get it together first.
I can't figure the other than not being snuck up on within a small area, I can't think of the practical need for, like...
Paintball?
The car...
Hide and seek?
The car has the... they can give you the fake
some of them
third-person
have
view. Uh-huh. That's very useful. But as
so
person,
if you're walking backwards, looking, you'd be like, let me go
I'm taking the zoom. Final answer.
I mean, like, just finding things. I think there's got to be other benefits.
Finding things if they're on my back. What? How would finding things be easier in third person?
Because you don't have to turn around.
I guess he's saying you can't see the whole room at once, which you can't do with your normal eyes.
Yeah, we're not birds, Jason.
Okay.
Not right. Pigeons.
Could see the whole room, yeah, at once.
But I'll take the zoom.
Also,
yeah.
Also, if there is a listener out there that can fix my eyes, let me know.
How it works.
Yeah.
Well, they can, sort
of. I try to get LASIK. My whatever's in the front of my eye is too small. I'm just a
whatever
broken man.
Whatever is in the front of your eye?
I don't
eye?
Know what it's called. I don't know if that's the cornea or if that's the something else. My front eye part is
did
too...
Did the doctor describe it as that?
They said the front eye
I'm
part...
I'm sorry, Jason.
Your front eye part is too small.
Storm from Patreon. Would you rather only be able to take full one-hour showers for the rest of your life?
Okay, sounds good.
Or only be able to take strict 1 minute showers.
Okay, sounds bad. So I'm out.
But are you considering the time applications here? Like, you got to get ready for work. There's 50 minutes until work, and you're going to be late.
I'm not sure
if you
want
a shower.
I'm not sure how it happened, but somehow this became the Jason Moore hour. This is ridiculous. There's two other people on this show. But having said that, Jason.
Yes.
What is. You are legendary for your water wasting,
right?
For your despising of
My the earth. My decadence.
Your, yes.
Ooh, that's a good word.
It is a good word.
Thank you.
Lavish.
But, so you take a long shower.
Yes.
What is the shortest shower? Like, let's say you're going for just trying to do all the things that you actually have to do that aren't just stand in the shower or sit. I don't know what's going on in there. But what's that length of time?
Six, seven minutes. I'm guessing. I mean, every time we pickleball and I come here and shower, I'm in and out pretty quick. That's my quick shower is 6-7 minutes. I don't think you can shower in a minute. I think you can rinse off.
I've done a minute shower.
Yeah, but every single shower, if every single one of your showers is a minute, you stink.
You're prepared.
Yeah, you're prepared and you do hair and body at the same moment. It's all together.
You just squirt a bunch of shampoo on your head your soap.
No, you could do that. But I'm saying I can put the soap in my hand before I turn the water on.
Oh, so it's just so there's a timer and the water shuts off. You turn it on and 60 seconds later it turns off.
As long as it's the perfect temperature right when you turn it on. That's not counting against my minute.
Yeah, that's not
fair. I do have an important question.
That's not fair at all.
Do you wear your bifocals in the shower?
Only when I'm I will say this. I will say this. Important answer.
Some objects are tough to see.
It sucks when we get a shampoo and conditioner bottle that are like the same color, the same everything. One just says shampoo. One says conditioner. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm sitting there literally holding this up like, what is this?
So you don't wear them in the shower?
No, I don't wear them in the shower. They would fog up.
You wear your watch in the shower.
Of course.
I used to.
That's just, I don't want to.
You can't see it,
wait,
though.
Why is that? Why is that weird? Why is that weird? If I wear my watch in the shower, it's just because I don't need to take it off. It's
before
waterproof.
I had LASIK, I had glasses for 20 years. I never didn't wear them in the shower. 100% of the time.
I swam
in the pool with them, too.
What a weirdo. I'm not the weirdo.
I'm the weirdo because I want to see.
You're
weirdo. Sitting here holding up a shampoo bottle an inch from your eyes.
I mean, what do you do when you're washing your hair? There's
the water washes off of your glasses.
I'm talking about like moving your. You can be like.
I feel like washing.
Let me do
hair
me a favor.
A
do me a favor.
Yeah.
Since we are, we're really informing one another's lives here with our routines. Next time, for 1 week, shower with your glasses.
Okay.
It will do nothing to your glasses to hurt them.
I will take a selfie. Of
No,
the face, because they're going to be so fogged up that I'm going to be wearing blindfolds in the shower.
They will not be fogged at all.
All right.
All right.
We'll see.
So that's a promise, right?
That is a owl. You're going to need to remind me when this episode releases to.
Hey, next time you're blind
out.
In the shower, you'll remember.
Okay, that's fair. So it's tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. What's up, Spitwads? Do you know how much you are spending in subscriptions? This is a question that didn't used to be hard to answer, but now most Americans think that they spend around $80 a month and the actual total's closer to $200 because why? Everything is a subscription nowadays. And if you don't know how much you're spending, you need to get Rocket Money. Trust me on this. Been a big fan of this company since well before they were a sponsor, formerly known as Truebill. It's a personal finance app. It finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, helps you lower your bills, all in one place. Like I said, 80% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about, including yours truly. I got the Rocket Money app. It made life easy. I found a duplicate subscription. That's what I discovered and was able to cancel it. And they even have a team that helps you cancel it. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/ballers. That's rocketmoney.com/ballers. rocketmoney.com/ballers.
That's a great question.
Things only fog when water's not hitting them. Like the mirrors in your bathroom fog up because water's not constantly spraying on them. But if you're in the shower with your glasses, the water is constantly hitting you in the face and in the glasses.
He's making a strong point.
You're saying that it is easy to see out of your glasses when there's water hitting it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you have a better life.
What about washing your face?
If you would like to remove them at that point, that's fine.
I would like to remove them at that point.
I consider all the water hitting my face the washing of my face. I don't generally exfoliate in the shower.
Well, you should try it.
Look like nice you at the end?
Nice sugar scrub.
All right. That's a great question, Alex from the website. If you had to pick 1 hour of the day to be your favorite, which would it be?
Ooh, I like this question.
Yeah, that's I've never thought about that.
It is a great question.
I do know my favorite time of day is sunset.
Okay.
I don't know. There's just
like 4 to 5, 5 to 6.
I mean, well, it depends on that's fair. Where that's the earth fair. Is in location to the sun. When the sun's going down, the sky is coloring up. I don't know. There's a magical time there. And like,
the day's not over, but it's just kind of like it's dusk.
Yeah. See, and the heat is going away, but it reminds me of being a kid and like swimming in a pool.
Yeah. No, I get it. And my parents used to take walks at that time of the day and drag us along. But I remember that. Like, that's a nice time. I think that would be my time.
I was
really, you're not going like 5 a.m.
right in the morning?
No.
I really, no, not a joke or a jab. I thought you were going to go like that 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, that time when you get your work done, you get your coffee.
Golden sun.
The most caffeinated time of the day is right around there. But no, I think the best time of the day is the limelight.
Hmm.
Wait, is that where that word comes from?
Yeah. Now I'm going to be stupid.
No way that's right.
I honestly don't know. I would love to learn.
I think I'm going to go from 11 to midnight. I'm more of a
You're going to go from
night.
11 to midnight?
I probably used the word completely wrong.
I thought is limelight like an entertainment thing?
Yeah, that's the like when you're the focus, you're in the limelight, and that's a light on a stage. That's not what I meant.
Well, you're in like the...
I think
the,
I meant just like the dusk, the...
The limelight of the sun?
What's another word for dusk?
Thesaurus.com.
Twilight.
Ah.
That's the word twilight. I was looking for, not limelight.
Okay.
It's a light.
Yeah. There will be no light during my magic hour of the day because I was struggling between 10 to 11 or 11 to 12. I think I'm going to go.
There's a big difference for you?
There is, because sometimes I get sleepy around midnight, and I don't think I want to be sleepy during this, so maybe I'm going to shift. I'm going to go 10 to 11.
Okay.
Because I get much more done usually at night than in the morning.
What are you on a average day? What are you doing?
Well, on an average day, I'm probably at that point. If it's been a work day, we get home, kids, dinner, tuck in, bedtime, homework, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. I'm putting on TV 10 to 11.
Okay,
that's my usual.
On a not average day, what are you doing?
Well, like if I've got work to do, we run a business here. Whenever I've got a lot of spreadsheet work or even
concentration
if I've got,
work.
Yeah,
focus
concentration
work.
Focus work. That's when in those hours I can get a lot more done.
Okay.
My brain just works better later and than it does earlier.
We were just talking about this because we were working on some of the stuff for footballers together. And I was like, oh, should we like get in early tomorrow morning and really knock some of this out? And it's because for me, that exact focus time is 5 to 7 in the morning, and for him, it's 10 to midnight.
Yeah. I told him I'll work on this
like,
late
yeah,
tonight.
I got it tonight.
So, not the morning person.
Yeah. So, so we answered that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Sergio from Patreon says, if all statues on Earth came to life and became hostile, which one would be the deadliest or scariest and the most difficult to destroy?
David.
No.
I mean, that would be a problem. Sheer size. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's humanoid, right?
Is that a big statue?
Yeah,
I think so.
How big
is David?
Let me find out for you.
He's 17
How
foot,
tall?
How tall is David?
Is David
17 feet tall by 6.5 feet wide?
Right. Yes, so he's... So the Statue of David.
The Statue of Liberty could kick David's butt.
Oh, I didn't think about the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All I was thinking was, I was just thinking about a human being.
Right.
Who is massive. Oh. Wait, does David, is he not have an arm?
That's
no,
Venus
he's got
de Milo.
He's got an arm.
Venus de Milo is the
he's
one
got
that
it
has
all.
No arms.
Oh.
What about the...
man.
He's very in shape.
There's a Statue of Unity in India that's the largest, and there's three bigger than Statue of Liberty.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's three bigger humanoids. The Motherland Calls in Russia has a sword. That seems like the most dangerous one.
What?
Now, what about the Mount Rushmore. They're not very mobile, even if they come
you
to life.
What are they going to roll at you?
No, but I mean, what are you going to do to that mat? I mean, it just eat you as you try to get near them.
They can't catch you.
What about the Sphinx?
No nose.
Oh, dude, what are we talking about? Abe Lincoln.
Oh.
I mean, he's a scrappy, lanky fighter.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler for real?
Yes. For the Washington D.C. one?
Yeah, exactly. He'd get up out that chair, and now he'd have a giant chair he could swing around like a wrestler.
Oh.
Abe Lincoln's statue is, if he was standing, which they've figured out,
right.
He would be 28 feet tall.
Oh, he'd just,
yeah, okay, that's devastating.
Whoop David.
Yeah. All and right. He'd be wearing clothes, so there'd be that.
That would be helpful. That would be
we're moving on.
That's the problem.
Rhonda from the website. In the book about your life, what is the name of the chapter you are currently in?
Oh.
What is the name of the previous chapter?
That I'm in right now?
Yeah, what's the name of the chapter you're in right now, and what's the name of the previous chapter?
I want to know what the next chapter is going to be called.
That's not the question, Jason.
No, I'm just following up and saying that's what I'm curious about.
Okay.
The previous chapter would be... called Sleepless in Parentville.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long is a chapter of your life?
That's a good question.
That is.
I think that needs to be defined.
5 years?
Yeah, it's funny because when I look
at... I guess
at,
that wouldn't be the... yeah.
When I think about like the chapters of my life, if I were to just
how
say...
How long
that,
are you going
to
live? Then I'll answer that question.
If I was just going to say like, you know, think about and section up the different chapters in my life, they're probably way bigger than 5 years. You know what I mean? Like we've been doing this business for... 6-7 years.
Have I mentioned I run a business no. yet?
Yes, yeah,
I'm just saying. And then before that, we worked together for like 8 years. I feel like those
in
are
a business.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Okay, my apologies for describing my life on the question of my life, but those are like completely different chapters. And so, if you were to say 5 years, every 5 years, I don't know that that's a new like. Are
yeah,
things
I,
that
I feel
different?
Like this...
Well, I mean, it'd be like a year when you were. As a kid through about 18, a chapter feels like it would be every 2 years.
That's
or
fair.
A year, because you got getting a job, getting your driver's license, graduating from high school, getting a girlfriend, whatever the case may be.
So the chapters just get longer?
The chapters get longer the older you get. It's like the Harry Potter books. They're really short at first, and then the last books are huge.
Do they get shorter at the end? Do the chapters get smaller and smaller? Like
a bell curve type of a thing?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like that's when it's like this was the dentures chapter.
Right. The bifocal chapter. Is that the one you're in
you're
right
already,
now?
Yeah.
Progressive. I'm not quite to bifocals yet. That's right. That's what the name of my next chapter is.
Mike, what's the.
My next chapter is going to be called My New Business.
I feel like. So I was going to say the beginning of our run as the footballers would probably be the chapter, but I feel like there's at least
the one you're in now.
Yeah,
so we're still at the beginning.
No,
because nice.
I think we're in the second chapter
of that.
Yeah, so the previous chapter, so the beginning of the podcast and all that stuff. I think you could title that because
that's like job transition.
Yeah, but it's so we're making the podcast now.
Ooh.
And people are like, but what do you do for a living?
Okay.
I think that's the name of my chapter.
What do you do for a living?
No, it's, but what do you do for a living?
But how do you make money?
I feel like, you know, popular, you know, sometimes you come up with like popular phrases or famous quotes or something that can be a chapter title. I'm going to go with my last chapter title, the beginning of the footballers.
The end?
No, I'm going to go with Young, Scrappy, and Hungry.
Oh,
as the previous.
That's okay. A good title.
And now
more
it's
like
old, fed, and full. Old, fed, and full is the current chapter.
Okay.
You're not just fed. You're full.
That's right.
All right. Will from Twitter. What is the difference between a house, a home, and a mansion? Is it features? Is it size? Is it both? Help! And we are very... This is one of our strengths. We know the difference between things.
Yeah. I mean, well, a home doesn't have a staff, you know?
Well, yeah, a mansion doesn't have to have a staff.
You can have a mansion without a 100%.
Staff? 100%. You can, yeah.
You can. But you know what you can't have a home without?
A heart.
A heart.
That's true. Okay.
So a home, unless your heart, in which, metaphorically...
You mean a physical heart?
It could be physical as well. Once someone's heart resides in that house...
But what does that mean?
Like, that means your heart's in a box somewhere in this house.
Oh.
You have to literally have it outside of your body?
Or somebody else's heart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's easier.
I don't think this is the real difference.
What do you think the real difference is?
I mean, I think the generic answer is that the home is a place that's like of warmth, and like it's like, you know how people move into a new place and then they go,
and it's your house.
It just doesn't feel like home yet.
Yeah.
What makes it feel like home?
But
is it time?
But they say you can never go home.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Can never go home?
That's what they say to prisoners.
Right. Oh, on death row. Sorry, sir.
No,
but remember.
That's an actual saying. Is
you can never go home.
You can never go home, which is implying of like you grow up, you have all these nostalgic feelings tied to the place where you grew up, and once you leave and you come back, it's the same place, but it's not.
I feel like this is really all about love, right? A house is where you live that you don't like.
Okay.
A home is where you move in that you love. And a mansion is when you move in and everyone else hates you. This is all about love. Love and hate. That's my barometer.
Now, I know, Mike, your parents still live in the house you grew up in.
Yes.
Now, Jason, your parents don't live in the house you grew up in.
No, we moved around a lot. Always, you know, around the same area, not like, you know, around the country or globe, but we had several homes growing up.
So if I said, what's your childhood home, would you even have one?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
And Mike, when you go back to your parents' house, does that home nostalgia take over? Do you ever have like what is your room? What is your childhood room now?
Is now my father's gym.
Oh, okay.
They have no, it's strange because they've been there for, you know,
it's a long time,
like 30 years or so. We moved into that home when I was in first grade, and I'm nearly 40 now. So whatever the math is, it's got to be at least 30 years, and they have since, you know, upgraded things, and they decide, this is my parents. Once both me and my sister have moved out of the home, they're like, you know what we should do? Let's redo the backyard. Let's put a pool in.
Let's make it amazing.
And I'm like, what are you
doing?
Wait,
you didn't have that pool growing
up? No, I did not have that pool when I was growing
up. For
your
whole childhood, you had no pool?
They made it for themselves.
They're selfish.
Oh, man.
Empty, selfish monsters.
Empty nesting pool.
How long till they converted both of your rooms to something useful for themselves?
Well,
like don't come back.
After I called them selfish monsters, I did have to move back in with my parents.
Got to use that pool.
And the pool was there. I tricked them good.
No good. I'm out of here.
but when I moved back in, I was in the sewing room. Because my room had already been overtaken.
Oh, so, really? So they did not wait
around. The answer to when did my room get converted was very rapidly.
As he was packing, they had the tape measure out. They were measuring for furniture.
I moved out for 3 hours.
Already had a pool table in there. All right, I think we nailed that one. Can a mansion ever become a home?
Yes, certainly. But you have to have a second story.
Do you have
story.
To be raised in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But second story. That's my, you have to have a second story.
For a mansion?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my rule.
Okay.
And at least 8 visible windows from the front.
Oh, 8.
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
But you don't need a staff.
No. Well, Brooks, do you have a staff at your mansion?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you do need a staff.
But he's in a castle.
We really should.
He's more of a castle. All right, it's time to draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right. Well, we are drafting the best space movies. There are a lot of them. And Jason gets the very first pick.
Lucky you.
Now, I know that Jason is in a bit of a position here. He has the very first pick in the draft. I know that his heart is in war.
Yeah.
Because he could win the draft. He thinks there are picks that make
him
more.
You have a pick that's so strong, you think you can win with it?
Well, there are picks that are more poll heavy.
Yeah, so here's the reality for me.
And then there's being
integrious. I love space movies. Like, mm-hmm. I really, really love sci-fi, sci-fi action space movies, like, that's my jam. When I'm allowed to just watch a movie by myself, that's what I'm always looking for first. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to. That's my primary. So there's a lot of things I love. But I think a lot of the movies that I love are going to be more me-specific. I know there's one, Mike, we already talked about it, that I'm doubting it comes back to me. It's excellent. But there's a lot of those type of movies. So I feel like to play the game here, I need to go with another movie that I do love that would never, ever get back to me. And it is also a great poll winner because I'm taking Star Wars. This is space movies.
Which one?
Yeah.
I knew you guys
were
going to
do. There are a lot of Star Wars movies.
There are. I assume we're not going to be able to draft multiple Star Wars movies, right?
You can feel free.
Well, you can feel free. I'm grabbing one. Oh, I can? I'll take all of them.
No, but one at a time.
I'm going to go Empire Strikes Back.
I was hoping that would sneak for my first pick.
So if I had taken a different one, you would have drafted Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. 1,000%.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well,
because that's...
that is the one.
There's a dirty secret about the Star Wars, the trilogy movies, and it's that I really like Star Wars. They're okay.
They're not all great.
Because I had gone and I did a full rewatch with the kids, getting them introduced to it. And I remember texting my friends, as I'm rewatching New Hope, going, oh no, guys, are these movies bad? Like, what is happening?
Well, you're really ruining my ability to pick New Hope second, because I think...
It's definitely a poll winner. My point was simply, like, once I got to Empire, it was, oh, yeah, here we go.
Now I remember
why
it was.
We're back, baby. But, yeah, go ahead, draft New Hope.
Well, I was about to, but the hard part is, I had New Hope and Empire Strikes Back on my list, and I was hoping you would take the first one, but there's...
I did.
There's an No, you took the second one.
Well, sure. Chronologically.
Do you know what episode number it is?
Yeah, that should be 5, right?
Okay. All
right.
Just checking.
He's always after you, man.
I know.
What, Fortnite over here? Yes, I'm after him.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, you'll never live it down.
There is how good the movie is, but there's also groundbreaking nature to a lot of space movies. Things that had never been done. When you talk about sequels and you talk about some sequels are better than the first one, but the first one had a bigger cultural impact when it came out. So, but you put me in a tough position because I feel like I'm just chasing Star Wars if I go with New Hope here.
You would be, but you're welcome to do it.
So I'm actually going to, there are so many classics, but I'm going to take one that I'm just afraid I won't get later in the draft. Maybe it doesn't belong here at number two, but I know what can come back to me. So I'm going to take Interstellar.
Dang.
See, I knew that one would not come. That's on my list, and I know it's like Mike's, if it's not his favorite.
That's my jam, man.
I know. And with you having two picks, I was just too concerned would take it with one of the two, and I know some of the other ones I like are going to get back to me. So Interstellar is a great
movie. You made the correct choice.
It's a great movie. It's so good.
Interstellar is fabulous. I have not left very many movies where it sticks with you so strongly to the point of I bought the Science of Interstellar book, and I had to pre-order it. I had to wait for this thing because as much as we can, because I mean, you know, they're talking about really hypothetical stuff out there like black holes and things, but they actually tried to get the science as accurate as possible as we know it right now. The movie is tremendous.
Yeah, it is great. I haven't seen it in too long.
Oh, fire!
I need to
get
watch
ready
that
to weep, my friend.
Yeah. It's a great movie. All right, Mike, you are on the clock for two space movie picks.
All right,
and I will just clean up after you.
Yeah, I mean it. There's not really a game to be played on this one. Maybe one pick in particular, but so I'm just going to take movies that I love, and since Empire did not make it to me, I'm going to start it off. We'll go with a quirky one. One that when I saw the preview, I said, "What in the heck is this movie?" And I'm a superhero guy, but Guardians of the Galaxy is the watchability of this movie. It's one of those like
might as well be Parks and Rec. You could just throw it on over and over and over.
You can be flipping channels and Guardians pops on. You're like, oh, we're an hour and a half in. Great, we're 20 minutes in. Great.
And the second movie wasn't anything like that. The first one because the music's integrated,
yes,
because of how fun the movie is, it's the definition of a fun,
yes,
great space movie.
The, yes, first one is superior for sure, but I really, yes, enjoyed the second one. I can watch the second one over and over too.
I did really like the second one, but the first one's better. Very, very excited for number three, whenever that comes out in the next couple years.
Are they bringing back, like, was it James Gunn?
I think so.
Whoever did the first one, I think, is coming back for the third.
I believe so. I believe he's in there. So then with my second pick, oh man, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to make it back and what will not. But now do I just hurt Andy?
Yeah, I mean, he got your Interstellar.
I'm not that worried.
You're not that worried?
No, I mean, I know what one you might be thinking,
yeah,
of.
Yeah, all right. I won't pick just to harm. I'm going to take a really impactful movie. And look, dude, I mean, it's got one of the GOATs. It's got Mr. T. Hanks in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take Apollo 13,
great movie,
baby.
I just assumed this would be Andy's pick,
no,
at some point. It is on my list. It's a great movie.
This thing, back when you, like, it's, I mean, the story is fantastic. But the fact that when you were a kid and you saw this, and they shot it in the Vomit Comet or whatever, but so that when they're in space, they are actually not on strings, but they are essentially in zero gravity. When I was a kid, my little brain just was exploding as they tried to figure all this stuff out. So I'm taking Apollo 13.
It was on the list. I'm going to go with the Empire Strikes Back choice here in the series, but I'm going to take Aliens. Aliens.
Oh, interesting. Why,
yeah,
would you take the second one?
Because I think it was a little bit better. It follows the sequel. Like, it had more action to it. It had a little bit more development. They had, I had Bill Paxton, so.
Yeah. Paul Reiser's in that one, too,
I think,
right?
It's generally, I think so. And it's generally the more appreciated of the two. Like, most people have that as their favorite. I think I like it a little bit more. But it's, again, it's like the whole thing of, like, it was a brand new concept with Alien, but then Aliens is a little bit more revered.
In my head, I mean, I know a couple differentiators like Bill Paxton and stuff, but for the most part, those two movies are just one giant conglomeration.
That's the sign
memory
of a great, like a great series, by the way. That's how Back to the Future used to be for me too. I couldn't remember
which movie was what,
where certain parts of certain movies were, and Indiana Jones even, like some of the great trilogies do that.
That's what was so weird about Back to the Future 3. Is like I can't keep one and two apart in my mind. There's all these, but then it's like, or we'll go to the Wild West.
Yeah.
They wanted to make a Western, man.
Hey, that's fine. They did it. All right. I am on the clock. I didn't put Aliens on my list. I knew that would be like a super popular one. Mm-hmm. I never got into it. Let me put it this way. I think I've seen it. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen
Game
it.
Game over, man. Game over.
But I don't know for sure that I have. Maybe that one was just a little too old for me and wasn't quite the Star Wars popularity that made me rewatch it.
What was fabulous, I did Prometheus when that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Went and saw that in the theater, which we were like just talking about 3D movies. But like Prometheus in 3D was actually
a better experience.
And it was an experience
because
they built it for 3D. But it's funny because that's like it's in the Alien
universe, yeah.
But you go, so I watched that and it's like, man, I need to watch Alien. So I go back and I watch Alien and just the hilarity of the tech
in
Prometheus. And this movie,
so much better.
This movie takes place like just after Alien.
Right.
You're like, why is the tech running on an Atari? It's very
all right.
funny.
Okay, man, there are so many space sci-fi movies here that I love. I'm going to go... All right, the first one I'm going to go with is Total Recall, because it is an absolute classic.
I let it go back to you.
I appreciate it. We had talked about it earlier, whether or not it was a space movie. I mean, it is.
I hate to say it, I've never seen the movie.
Dude, it's so good.
Wait, that's
good.
The window. I watched it on a plane. You guys made me watch it.
Yes.
Never mind, that's Schwarzenegger, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I have seen that movie.
It is. Total Recall is peak 1980s action.
Was that 80s?
It
might have
been early 90s, but you know, like how when a decade is just transferring over, I'm saying the
1990 on the dot.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Of like, it had the 80s vibes of there's just certain things that they did in 80s action movies, specifically collateral damage of people who should not be involved in the fight at all.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore in action movies, but in the 80s,
oh yeah,
it didn't matter. All bystanders are
doomed,
are in danger at all times.
But that movie has always stuck with me. So many lines that come from that, so many thoughts. And it had an incredible ending. It was one of those movies that, like,
that was
like the first movie I watched where I was like, whoa. At the end, I was like, what do I think the ending is?
What happened? What happened at the end of Total Recall to you?
I think it was real.
Okay.
I think it was real. All right. That's a great movie. The other one that I think this would come back to me. I don't think either of you would take it, but I will be crushed if either of you did, so I'm not going to allow it. I'm just going to take the one that I absolutely want. It's Serenity. I
was going to be so upset at you because I'm not going to draft it, but if you didn't, Mr. Firefly, draft it.
Oh, man. I was
going to crush you if you didn't take it.
Rightfully so, and I didn't even wait for last because I couldn't. I couldn't go without Serenity. That movie and that series, so unbelievably good. If you haven't watched Firefly, watch
it.
It's a quick. You would love it. Just watch. It's super quick because it's only one season.
How much is different from the season and the movie?
It's actually incredible what they did.
I thought it like bled together.
It kind of like they mixed and matched. Like some of it was the same and some of it was completely different. Even storylines of like what the main arc is, like some of it was the same, but things were completely different. It was like a brand new story using what they liked from the show.
So Jason has Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Total Recall, and Serenity. Mike's
great
got
list.
Guardians and Galaxy and Apollo 13, and I'm sitting here with Interstellar and Aliens.
It's not bad.
And just in case Mike gets the impulse to destroy me in his future picks, I will take The Fifth Element. You talk about a movie, like you just said, like Guardians...
Corbin, my man.
There are just something about Fifth Element fits the mold like Guardians does, where you could watch it 1,000 times and it's got enough to it. Big bada boom.
Fifth Element.
I just love that movie. It's such a. The music is awesome. The fight scenes are awesome.
The settings, all of the costuming, like it's great. But when I saw it in the theater, I was like, what? It didn't work. I did not get
Gary
it.
Gary Oldman is the bad guy.
And well, like it's talked about a lot, but whatever. So we'll mention it on here, but just how crazy it is that the protagonist and the antagonist never actually meet in the movie.
They never meet.
No, there's like a brief moment where they almost catch each other in the hallway of the hotel spaceship.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
But they never actually meet.
That's incredibly cool.
It's like this weird, quirky story thing that they have in
and
there.
And it had so much like nuanced sci-fi stuff where like...
It's a great universe.
Yeah, so I have to take it because it's a classic that I love and a great space movie. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I like it.
Final two picks for Mike.
And I know what I'm going with. I know what... There's one that's like a type of a poll winner, but I'm not going to draft it because I don't truly like it. But we're going to start off these back-to-back picks with... we're going to go with an animated movie, my friends.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
We're going with WALL-E.
Yeah. Makes sense.
WALL-E is a masterpiece from start to finish. And you have a movie where I don't even know. It's like the first... 25 to 30 minutes of the movie doesn't even have dialogue. They're just able to tell this story with this robot on the deserted Earth before he eventually meets Eva. And then,
so there is dialogue in the movie.
Yes.
I think I quit about 30 minutes in.
It's like a museum to Jason.
Get out of here, right. Jason. You've seen WALL-E.
I have seen the first 30 minutes of WALL-E.
You are a clown. A
get
clown.
Bodied.
You haven't seen the whole of WALL-E? Are you doing a shtick for the for the show?
So
or you really haven't seen WALL-E?
I didn't want to bring this up, but I'm a man for the people here because this paints me in a
Your
very
dream
poor
is
light.
To be the people in WALL-E.
That part was great. That part was fantastic. but no, I was like, I was super bored and I just assumed there's no words the whole movie. So I went on and did something else.
That is unbelievable.
I ain't looking for any of these picture shows. I get regular full movies nowadays.
Oh, man. WALL-E is a masterpiece.
WALL-E is your pick, Mike. It's all yours.
The story, visually, it is incredible. And from one masterpiece of the animated genre, and we're going right to another masterpiece of the comedic genre.
Oh, okay.
We're taking Spaceballs, no! baby, because it's one of my favorites, and I can watch Spaceballs over and over.
Your Schwartz is as big as mine.
I can, like, this is one of those comedies where you can hit play, and I could probably recite, like,
that's so 80 to 90% loved it that much.
Oh my gosh, man, it's so good. That is peak Mel
Darth
Brooks.
Helmet.
Yeah,
or Dark Helmet.
Like, but it is peak Mel Brooks before the jokes
slapstick
start.
Little.
Yeah, and I love slapstick. But like the later Mel Brooks, I mean, they're still very, very funny, but they're just they're recycled
you
jokes.
You got used to it.
Let's comb the desert. You remember that?
Yeah, of course I remember. But that was like before the jokes had started fully recycling themselves, and it was the first time you'd seen them. Oh my goodness, Spaceballs, it still holds up.
It's on my list.
It's one of the best satires of all time.
All right, well, I'll keep it nice and boring, but look, this was going to be probably the first pick off for me before Jason stole Empire, but I'll go New Hope. I'll take Star Wars and New Hope
okay.
to close out my draft.
It
I still think
should be taken.
It's very, very close to Empire Strikes Back, and that universe, those movies, so much better than those later ones that they came out with. So. At least the first three.
I like
the, or I guess you'd call them, yeah, episode one, two, three.
I like 7 through 9. I get like
7 through 9 are much better,
and I get that 7 is just New Hope redone.
Yeah,
don't care. It was awesome. Sure. And then you have the big turn in the middle of the movie, which no one saw coming. It was fantastic, and then Rise of Skywalker is like that is an Empire's greatness type of a movie. And I know that
some people felt that way about the third.
No, that people.
You're thinking Phantom Menace.
Episode 3.
Yeah, but people gave number 2 so much crap that they changed a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
For number 3, and I get the ending for 9, but it's very unsatisfying at the end. But I still find them enjoyable.
All right, so Mike's final team, Guardians, Apollo 13, WALL-E, and Spaceballs. Jason has Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Total Recall, Serenity, and one final pick. Then I'm with Interstellar, Aliens, Fifth Element, and Star Wars, A New Hope. Jason, close us out.
Whew, so many good options. I could go Galaxy Quest, which I do love.
It's Tim Allen.
Galaxy Quest. Tim Allen. I just showed that to my kids.
I actually genuinely love it. It's not going to make the cut. And then I'm really between two. The other one that's not going to make the cut, which I love, is Stargate. That movie was phenomenal.
It's not even on my list.
No, I mean, it's not like a current, modern, popular movie by any means. I'm going to go with one that I think when this movie came out, I was like, that is an awful movie. Like, this was really not that great.
Was it because you were too young for it?
I don't think I was too young. I think I was just kind of not watching it to just enjoy it. You know those movies where it's like...
It's popcorn, but you were expecting more?
Yeah, I was expecting... I wanted like some cinematic masterpiece, and so I was like too snooty.
And then
I watched
Earth.
It. Oh, yes. Over and over and over. I've probably seen this movie 50 times because it's another one where if it's just on, I'll be like, you have my attention. You're just fun to watch. And it's Armageddon, baby.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean... That cast, it's just fun. It's not a great movie. I'm not up here standing on a soapbox being like, Armageddon's one of the greatest movies of all time. Who made Armageddon?
It's not Schumacher.
Bruckheimer?
Was it a Bruckheimer?
Michael Bay.
Okay, that's, man. Yeah.
Slow-mo.
Well, it's slow-mo. Like, everything is insane.
Melodramatic.
Everything is, you have just quick cuts all over the place. They're like, hold on, Michael.
Oh, Bruckheimer, too,
Should we slow down and have more story? There's no time! We must get to the next scene!
That was Bruckheimer and Michael Bay.
Oh yeah, baby.
Directed by Michael Bay, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh, you know what you get when that happens? You get Armageddon!
You do.
Just...
All right, well... A couple that didn't make the cut that were close. You could have gone Alien, the first one.
Alien was on my list.
Gravity's a great movie. Like,
it's very solid.
I thought that was outstanding.
It's solid.
It was overrated.
It might have been overrated. And then Arrival. Did you guys see Arrival?
With Charlie Sheen?
No. The more recent one with...
Did they remake it?
I think I did see Arrival.
With Amy Adams.
Amy Adams. Yeah, that movie's outstanding.
I did see that one. It was.
You have not seen Arrival.
It was okay. It was like Contact to me. Like
it's 94% Rotten Tomatoes. You should check it out.
Okay.
Did you guys like Contact?
No. No, it was too. I understand why you're comparing those two.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Contact was a little too, like you could have said that about Interstellar. Some people might not have liked Interstellar for the same reason.
Right.
Overcomplicated, a little long.
But at least in Interstellar, they didn't have everything building up to this particular climax. And then the machine they spent the whole movie built, it gets destroyed. They're like, don't worry. We've secretly been building a second one that you had no idea we were doing. That is garbage. That is absolute garbage. Yeah. On my list, have you guys ever seen Sunshine?
I never saw that.
Sunshine is like one of these indie movies that is
pretty good.
It is very, very legit. The movie I was referencing that it's like a poll winner, 2001.
Oh,
Space
sure.
Odyssey.
You know what? I finally watched that for the first time. Brooks had recommended it when I was sick.
Oh, wait. I recommended Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's the one. I always confuse those two. Sorry. Close Encounters is the one I watched, and it was good.
I feel like Brooks is more of a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy type of guy.
Which, you know what's better? The book.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But then to close on my list, Independence Day is on here.
Oh, wow.
Just in case.
That's like, I guess Independence Day's would count.
So I didn't put Independence Day on mine because
they're fighting on Earth.
It wasn't really a space movie, even though it dealt with aliens. And if you had drafted it, totally allowed, but it was off mine for that reason.
And then
Armageddon wasn't really a space movie either.
They literally are traveling and working in space.
Well, in Independence Day, they fly up to the mothership.
But
a lot of
Armageddon takes place in space, more than Independence Day.
Okay, maybe a little
and
bit.
And then my final shout out. Much like Sunshine, another independent movie, if you have not seen it, I fully recommend Moon.
Yeah,
I've
that's
heard
another.
You recommend that before. I have not seen
that
it.
That looked a little creepy.
It is. Well, that's the whole point. It's very bizarre.
Do you guys remember Red Planet with Val Kilmer?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like the robot goes crazy. Yeah.
Why don't you guys take The Martian?
Yeah, I mean.
It was all right.
Mm-hmm. Mars is cool.
Right. I do like Mars. I love
Mars
a good Mars story.
Nah.
Ghosts of Mars?
What did we learn today?
That Jason hasn't seen WALL-E, and it's ridiculous.
I've seen some of it. I learned it that is the statue of David is very big.
don't stop this again.
You ruined mine. I was going to say David's not the biggest compared to all the others
Abe
out there.
Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln's taller statue.
Yeah.
A much taller statue. Never know what this show's going to bring your way. Thanks for listening, staying with us.
Goodbye.
There'll be another episode soon.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.